Hello, and welcome to a roundtable discussion on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, I'm joined by guests for a lively conversation on a topic we hope you'll find interesting. Joining me for this roundtable discussion is my sister Kay Kellum. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. We are going to have a spoiler-filled discussion around Continuum, both Season 3 and Season 4. The series wrapped up with Season 4.
Well, and I guess that means we'll probably spoil Seasons 1 and 2 as well.
And 5, if there had been. No, we're gonna talk about pretty much the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
We recently finished up Season 4. Mm-hmm. It's been a little while since we've seen Season 3. We apparently didn't do an episode on 3.
Well, we watched Season 3 as it aired, which on the one hand, huge compliment to the show. We had to watch it week by week as it aired. We were involved in. But it's so much easier to do the podcast after we've marathoned or binge-watched a show because we've just immersed ourselves in that world.
Yes, it's easier to kind of keep everything in my mind in a compressed time frame versus, if it goes over an 8-month period or longer,
mm-hmm.
The amount of comics I'm reading, life happening, and other things, it gets tough to keep it all in my mind.
Well, and there are just enough other shows with time travel elements, etc., that you sit there saying, I'm 99% sure that was Continuum, but there's that 1% chance that I'm drawing a thread from somewhere else.
Well, and Continuum is a little bit of a complex show because there are multiple factions and such.
Well, and that's definitely something that layered on each season. Season 1, there were fewer factions than Season 2. Season 2 had fewer factions than Season 3. And by Season 4, I think every character represented a faction.
Just about. Because with Season 3, what were the free agents called?
Freelancers.
Freelancers. They become a major factor.
And that was an interesting term to me because freelancers seem to apply to two different categories of people in some respects. There was the freelancers group that mm-hmm. the Traveler controlled, but there was also Jason.
Yes. I think there was a different name we were given for okay. that, and that he had referenced the freelancers, which is how we first heard about them.
Yeah.
So they got, the seed was planted in the second season. It very much was one of the main arcs in third season. Fourth season, we get another group coming from Kellogg's future.
Well, and in season 3, that had been planted with Brad. Yes. And that was one of the things that the show did do quite well, was these planting of seeds. But going back to season 1, what I loved about the show and what I wish every season had kept and maintained was that clear concept of arc and bookends.
Yeah. I think once they got to season 3 and we've got at the beginning two Alex and then two Kiras because they've both traveled in time back a week or so. We've got the branching timelines. We've got characters at odds with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when this whole new timeline starts to take root that we get refugees from or whatever later, it becomes a much more sophisticated and complex show just from the time travel aspect.
Very true.
And some TV shows, you could almost juggle the episodes from season to season, it wouldn't matter. But with this, the status quo never stays status.
Yeah. Well, the comment you just made, I watched a show just in the past week or two from the second season of a TV show. And a character that they added very late in the first season as a recurring and then brought into the cast for season 2 was missing. She's off getting training and stuff. And at the end of the episode, I realized, that feels like an early season 1 script that mm-hmm. fell by the wayside. And somebody said, hey, what about that one script we never pushed all the way through development? I think we could make a go of it after all.
Yeah.
And Continuum is not a show where you could go back and say, hey, what about that one script? And just push a little and make it go, because so many things changed from season to season.
I think there's an episode that is the exact counterpoint to that.
How so?
There was one in the third season where it's taken place mostly in the future, where she's found, she's learning about, Julian's name, the Theseus, his teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Because that sort of flash to the future was very common first season, fell a bit by the wayside, and by third season is gone.
Yeah.
Except for that one episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's an aspect of, wait, we need to kind of set the seed, plant how she converts to this line of thinking or whatever, why she's susceptible
to, as a character puts it at the very end of the fourth season, she's our best weapon mm-hmm. for change.
Well, and how by the fourth season, there are episodes where they're all sitting down at dinner, members of Liberate, Kira, Alex, Julian, people that were at odds. And again, your point of almost everybody at that table is from a different faction.
Yeah. And I loved those scenes.
Oh, they were great.
And there was one episode that began with one of those scenes, and we were watching it together, and we're looking at each other going, wait a sec, what did we do wrong? Did we pull up the wrong episode in the DVR? What's wrong? I thought he was dead. I thought he was off in Timbuktu. I thought this was totally wrong. And it turned out to be a dream sequence. And Julian was missing just a week ago when they'd all been able to sit down at the table together. I'm like, oh.
Alex, actually.
Alex. Thank you, Alex. But I'm like, okay, it's not just me. It's really not going to happen.
That Alex and Julian had throughout the series, and particularly how some of that's happening in the third and fourth seasons. Mm. And there's a lot of character growth, a lot of character change, and how one of the scenes in the fourth season where Alex is telling Julian, I've read this stuff. Don't be afraid of your words.
Yes. Yes.
And how there was a, those two were at such odds at the beginning before Kira was really introduced to them.
Yeah.
To get to where they're actually acting like brothers.
Yeah.
Even though they're just stepbrothers or whatever.
Yeah.
There was, again, some good character growth there. Fourth season, 6 episodes, very much kind of cut short, wrap things up sort of a nature.
Well, and my understanding, based on a video that the actors made for Showcase and put up on the website and then got released to the Sci-Fi website, the fans, especially up in Canada, made an uproar of at least give us a close to the story. Don't leave us hanging like this. And they got those final 6 episodes made. And that's why it's such a short season. And the actors and creators said, look, we know we can't tie up everything in 6 episodes. We had too many threads going. But we will do everything we can in the 6 episodes you got us. And we're grateful you got us an ending point.
But the too many threads. I had read somewhere a quote from Simon Barry, creator, lead writer, that he thought it could go for 7 to 10 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And on the one hand, that's great that he's got that much story. On the other hand, how many TV shows go for that long?
Yeah, and that's the perpetual problem right now, is we have these great creative minds that can make this stuff, but we don't necessarily have the networks that will support it or the production lines to get it out there, etc. And when you put those many threads in back at season 2 and season 3 with no way to give us that closing, if the floor falls out from under you early, you end up with really frustrated and disappointed fans.
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the things that made Stargate SG-1 work was a 2-year initial commitment from Showtime.
Yeah.
They were able to do essentially a 40-episode kind of an arc for these characters, get an incredibly solid foundation that allowed them to go another 8 years.
Yeah.
And with most shows, you don't get that. But with Continuum, the show we got first season is fairly different than what we got second season. It changes a lot in the 5th season, and again, quite a bit in the 4th season. So you've got to expect a certain amount of attrition in your audience as you're changing the show you're doing.
Well, I got the feeling late in the 3rd season, really, that there was this concept, and maybe it was just my imagination, but this concept that, okay, Kira came from the future where Alec had sad tech and ruled.
Mm-hmm.
And we were starting to get these hints where Brad was saying, you know, was that Matthew Kellogg? Okay, so clearly he recognized Kellogg. Kellogg was somebody in his future. So maybe he came from the future. Kellogg dominated and ruled. And then I began to wonder, okay, well, what if there's a future where Travis was the dominating force?
Or Theseus, or...
or Sonya, or, you know, and that's where I wonder if the creator was saying, you know, I can see 10 seasons. Every season we're exploring a, someone comes back to prevent the horrible future of only one person's dominating vision because they weren't balanced by the others.
But I think part of it was Simon Barry had a good idea, but it almost felt like he got a little indulgent with it. Because you can do, hey, what about each of these futures or whatever, but pull it back, make it controllable. Make something that works for a 4 to 5 season show, because that's what most successful shows are.
Yeah.
Many of them. And that's more or less what they got. Have exit strategies, but also have something where you're a bit more efficient in your storytelling.
Yes.
And plant the seeds and sell some of it better, because I felt like one of the main aspects of the show, particularly 3rd, 4th season, is the Traveler.
Yes.
And it's like, he's a central character, and we're just skimming the edge of his story.
The Traveler was something that I never cared for, never worked for me.
Well, it's because we were never properly introduced to him.
Yeah.
We were told about him. We realized his story is really what this is all about, apparently. But he's not a central character.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that he really says more than 2 or 3 words in the whole thing, or if that. I mean,
I'd be amazed if he spoke.
Yeah.
Honestly.
You could have the actor who played the Traveler moderate a panel at a major sci-fi convention on the show, and at the end of it, he could say, yeah, and I played the Traveler, and half the people on the thing, who?
Yeah.
You know, that was one of the major misfires, I think.
Yeah.
And not because of the actor. I think it was just because of the way that the story was dealt with.
Yeah. Well, I felt like they brought in the Traveler and the Freelancers to point out the whole diverging timelines, etc. And I don't think they needed him or them to do that. I felt that the member of Liberate who was in with that faction,
Chen,
I just never liked that.
He was okay, but they made certain promises, set certain expectations that they never fulfilled. Chen telling Kellogg, I'll tell you how to come back from the dead. He never does. He never really explains how he does it. Oh, it's parallel timelines. It's magic. It's okay. Yeah. You know, and I never got a good sense of what his game plan was, much less the Traveler's. And
well, the Traveler was trying to set right what once went wrong so he could return to his future.
Again, I've seen both Quantum Leap and Star Trek Enterprise. Now, if they put Scott Bakula in the role, maybe. But even Kellogg, both of the present and of the future, his motivations, his game plan was never quite clear.
Agreed.
And I think the writer played a little too close to the vest on some of this stuff, a little too secretive, and left some of the story off the page. It's like, I think if you were to talk with Simon Barry and say, okay, what was going on here? He'd have this great explanation, probably a fascinating story. He just didn't tell it.
Now, you know, we talked about it at the beginning of season 3, they went back a week. And what we lost in that week was the cop and Betty. Can't think of Victor Webster's. Carlos.
Carlos.
That character. Carlos and Betty going out to Theseus' farm.
Right, because the second season ended with them going out to Theseus' farm. Things are in a bad state just in general.
They don't want to be corporate police of Vancouver. They want to be the police of Vancouver. So they're starting to understand what Theseus is fighting against. And they're starting to understand Julian. They go out to the farm, and then we backtrack a week. And Carlos is never really on that path again because the events that led up to his being dissatisfied don't happen.
That's the kind of change that makes sense to do at the end and start of a season, but is better to do in the middle. And the reason for that is by doing it, the season ends this way and the next season starts and goes back and retools, it makes it feel like you've, as a writer, spent 3 months and said, oh man, I wish I'd gone left instead of right.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do that exact thing in the middle of a season without missing a beat, oh, they've got this planned. They know what they're doing. It's the same story they're telling. They had just as much inkling probably either way.
Mm-hmm.
But it plays very differently, at least for me.
Well, and that goes back to my saying that the greatest strength of season one is the bookends. That very early in season one, we see the statue that is a six that, you know, that was created in the great attack and the bombing, this, that, and the other. And then at the very end, we see the beam hit the statue that was an eight and make it into the six that she was standing in front of in the future back in that early episode.
To me, that underscores what I thought the biggest failing of the series was. While the seasons were good, while the episodes were good, the payoff of the entire run failed.
You know, I saw a review online that referred to the finale of Continuum as the saddest happy ending ever written.
The character got what she wanted without getting it.
Yeah. There was absolutely nothing waiting for her in the future when she got there.
Incorrect. The brothers were there. No, actually, it was
Kagami.
It was Kagami and Alex. Julian apparently couldn't make it, although mm-hmm. he's apparently still around.
Yeah.
Which was a shame. I think seeing them, it would have worked better if we'd seen the two brothers. Don't get me wrong. Kagami was great. I loved seeing him.
Yes. Seeing all three of them would have made the scene excellent.
But, I mean, hell, even get, it would have been harder to do, would have been more expensive. Get the rest of Liberate there.
Mm-hmm.
Have them all show up. Hey, we're in a good place. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, how much of Liberate was still alive at that point?
In the future, potentially all of them.
Ah, interesting point. But would they have known to be there? But yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
Imagine if this had been basically their police now. They're upholding the right. The society's good. Yeah. She won.
Yeah. She won, but she lost everything. It's the great tragedy.
Imagine if we get to the future and we see Kagami coming in and we've gotten these people that we know are mm-hmm. Liberate. We're a little close on them, so we can't see what they're wearing. And he's like, yes, this is the end. This is, you know, something that sounds ominous, but he's basically saying it's a retirement party.
Yeah.
And they're like, for who? She'll be here momentarily.
Yeah.
And it's basically, he has brought in his people, if you will, to celebrate her coming back and
mm-hmm.
and getting to live a happy life, if not necessarily her life.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, she didn't have Brad with her. She didn't have Carlos with her. She was alone.
Absolutely. No mention of the husband. Yes, her son's alive, but another her is there.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't feel like it had come full circle. It didn't feel like it was she's gotten everything she's worked for. The ending made sense, but fell flat.
Yeah. And that's the greatest tragedy, I think, is that the ending made perfect sense. You know, that if everything did work out, then there was no reason for her to have gone back in time because there was no execution chamber for her to be in to go back mm-hmm. in time. Etc., etc. You know, so she comes to this future and she's simply alone.
Well, again, she's got Alex, she's got friends, but no, yeah, she's not totally alone, but it was, again, very depressing kind of an ending, and it almost felt like, well, we've got to wrap it up, which is mm-hmm. what it was.
Yeah.
But I think a better planned show would have had, from this point to this point, this is how we end the series. From here mm-hmm. to here, we can do this. We get to here, we can now do this.
Yeah. But I guess the question is, how much would you sacrifice to save the world?
Tough question.
I mean, well, look at Kira Cameron. She, whether she meant to or not, she sacrificed all personal happiness that she knew to that point.
She wasn't given a choice.
She could have stayed in the past and helped build the future.
True, true. But she had still lost her family. She could at least now check in, which isn't any better.
From a distance.
Yeah, well, that's my point.
I mean, it just, yeah. Like you keep saying, it's the saddest happy ending ever.
Having the different timelines almost battle it out and things like that was interesting. But again, some of it just didn't play well.
Well, the idea that Kellogg's people wanted to invade the past was something that I just had issues with trying to understand how does that work.
Oh, it makes perfect sense to me in so much as you've already lost in the future. You've got a fighting force. You have knowledge that gives you a superior position.
but you might kill your parents and prevent yourself from being born to fight.
But I don't know that we've ever seen any indication that people could wipe themselves out of existence. They could kill themselves. They could kill their daughter or whatever.
Yeah, the killing their daughter is
But we expected. Never saw anything where you shoot person A and person B, poof.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that in other shows.
True, true. I mean, we saw Kellogg's grandmother die and Kellogg was still there.
Yeah. So they've kind of disproven that aspect. And again, if they had changed the timeline either to Kellogg's future, which clearly they had, then Kira and those people shouldn't have been able to come back. And if that didn't happen and they got to a nice timeline and stuff, that Kira, there is no CPS. She couldn't have been at an execution chamber. She couldn't have gone back. You know, the time travel rules in that world don't short circuit such that you can poof out of existence.
Yeah.
So that gives you a little more freedom. But yeah.
So you can invade the past. You can go to the past and use your own kidney for a transplant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hoping to at least see old Kellogg and young Kellogg face to face.
I was hoping, but I was also thinking that'd be a pretty nasty scene.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen what future Kellogg's game plan totally was a little bit clearer. Again, it comes down to, I felt certain things were maybe clearer in the writing room than on the script.
And Kellogg was always the guy who knew how to get others to do it for him.
Yeah, but he should have known that he couldn't trust himself in both directions, older and younger and such. And he got wise to that, but he didn't have a game plan to get out of there.
No.
He was very much in forces beyond his control. And when you bring in Brad's whole crew and stuff at the end of the third season, beginning of the fourth, that, again, whole new dynamic, new status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel that they'd wrapped up enough of the other things.
Yeah.
The blonde from Liberate.
Garza.
What was the point of her?
You know, she was actually an oddly interesting character because she survived and she was one of the people who helped make a good future.
True, true.
She was one of the people who recognized that Kira had been their best weapon all along.
Mm-hmm. Well, and her working relationship with Kira got very interesting at the end.
Yeah.
There was stuff they could do, but they were clearly not seeing eye to eye, mm-hmm. even if they were somewhat in alignment.
You know, Travis dying to protect cops. At the very beginning of the episode, who was seeing that coming?
Series.
No, thank you. Who was seeing that coming?
Well, again, he had a good arc. There was a lot they did with him. It was interesting how many of the Liberate members, though, just were dropping like flies over the course of the series.
Yeah.
One or two to come back and die again, I think. Chen being that guy.
Yeah.
But for a six-episode, let's-wrap-things-up season, particularly the fight there at the police station, they did some major damage, some major action. I mean, it wasn't let's do this on the cheap.
Agreed.
But I've also got to think, if they hadn't gone, if they had had to do that, we might have gotten a better plot resolution, whereas we got a decent action resolution.
Yeah.
And when the guy gets into his armor thing and starts taking pot shots that are taking chunks out of concrete and stuff, don't duck behind that drywall for cover. It's just not going to work.
The video game suit?
Pretty much. There were points where that was so blatantly CG. But weekly television. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bad CG. It was well done.
No. Yeah, yeah.
But it paled in comparison to Kagami looking at the street as it's evolving over time and some of the shots like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the show started really strong. It just seemed to lack focus, lack that through line, and really, in my mind, not land the ending, not pull together and such. And even if it had just been a depressing ending, if I felt that they had really landed it.
Mm-hmm.
But everything from Alex having the vision in the white room between younger and future self, him understanding what the Traveler is, all that, it seems like it was just dropped in his lap.
Yeah.
Like, how did that happen? Why did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
He's now done an about face. He's changed his decision. He's going to go do this thing, whatever. It's like, really? What happened? Why?
Yeah. Yeah, the Traveler arranged for him to talk to the future him in Kira's timeline, not in Kellogg's future timeline or Brad's future timeline.
And to learn, the younger one learned something from the future one or vice versa, whatever.
Yeah.
There was, there were aspects of, I don't want to say lazy writing or whatever, but it just felt like they had better ideas than they were able to execute on.
Well, to me, that scene was meant as confirmation that older Alec purposely sent Kira back, which I had never doubted.
Yeah, that was pretty clear to me early on. It's one that I didn't need that explained. I needed, well, how the hell are these two meeting up explained?
Yeah.
It introduced more questions than it answered.
Yeah.
And more serious questions than it answered.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the whole freelancers being this major organization to she shoots a few people and poof, they're out of the picture.
Yeah.
There were things, it felt like plot lines were getting dropped in favor of other ones, and it's like they didn't have good story direction, good script supervision, good what's the premise of the show and stay true to that.
Yeah.
But I think they thought they did.
Well, from the time I first started watching the show, I loved that first season, there was this clear, straight path. You know, it was not this huge tapestry. It was more of like a narrow little scarf.
Well, they had a game plan and they stuck to it.
Yeah. You know, and I loved how that final episode had echoes and callbacks to the beginning.
And planted seeds for the future.
Yeah. You know, and I really just think that the subsequent seasons tried to bring in too many threads, tried to do too much, and they lost that clear laser focus that I had enjoyed so much. I enjoyed what they did. I just missed that focus.
But at one point, Jason was handing, I guess it was Kira, a message for his father.
Yeah.
That never gets delivered.
Yeah.
He had introduced his father to his future mother.
Yeah.
That never really has anything happen with it.
Well, Alec flat out says that he realizes that shouldn't happen because older himself tells younger himself that she didn't die from sickness. She killed herself because of me.
Well, and he says in the future at the end that he hooked back up with Emily, I guess.
Yes. Yes.
So we get tidbits of it, but a lot of it felt like we were being told the story versus seeing the story.
Yeah.
And again, I thought it was a good show by and large. I thought it was better at the beginning and less so at the end. It was still good at the end, but it wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But it's something that if you can find it on Netflix or Hulu, one of the streaming services, it's worth watching. It's a good sci-fi show.
I think Netflix has three of the seasons so far. And it's definitely worth watching. So it'll get the
fourth before too long.
Yeah. It's definitely worth watching. Yeah.
I love how in the fourth season, Carlos is basically telling his former boss, yeah, Kira's from the future, this, that, and the other. She's like, well, if you don't want to tell me the truth, fine.
Yes.
And then Kira basically tells him the same thing. And he's like, you weren't kidding. You know?
Yeah.
Just how Dylan goes through that transformation.
Yeah.
And having him around for the fourth season and keeping him in play, even not as a cop, I liked.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some really good acting. There were some really good actors, some decent writing, some really good writing in some places,
mm-hmm.
some fun ideas. It didn't fully play out as well as it could have and should have.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Victor Webster did an awesome job throughout the series.
Well, he said in an interview that when he first got the scripts, one of the things he liked about it was that he was specifically told, we're casting you for your size. You're big. You look strong. And your character's the weakest in most scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know the future and they do. Because you don't have the enhancements and they do. And we want to play off of that. He said, you know, that's really not a character he'd ever been given before.
Or likely to get in the future, yeah. Because he's the type that, you know, if they had cast him to play like Superman or something, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
You know, and he did a really good job here as somebody that normally would have been that hero cop, that strong guy, whatever. But because, again, he's in over his head in this situation,
mm-hmm.
who wouldn't be?
Well, and especially there in the fourth season, he's telling Alec quite often, look, I get she's going to go off and do her own thing, but that doesn't mean you keep me so in the dark I can't back her up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and he gets the secrets being kept, the friendships that are at play here, and how he's got to kind of navigate through some of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, his eyes are much more open at the end than at the beginning.
Yeah.
So it was, I'm curious what he does next. He did a great job.
Yeah.
You know, I think most of the other actors are probably going to do other stuff, but I don't really, you know, it's not like I'm wondering, geez, what's the guy who played Alex going to do next or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The one who played, again, the Liberate guy at the end who saved the cops. I'm blanking.
Oh, Travis.
Travis, sorry. He's on
Dark Matter.
Dark Matter right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he was also in Arrow for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So he's keeping busy.
Yeah, definitely.
And a good, great actor there too.
Lexa Doig has been doing some Hallmark movies and mysteries movies with Candace Cameron Bure.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Aurora Tea Garden, I think, is the main character the movies tend to be named after. The gal who played Garza, I've seen on a few other shows. The guy who played Brad was Tector on Falling Skies before he got killed off.
I would expect most of this cast we're going to see in other shows, particularly other ones done in that area.
Yeah.
I mean, Canadian actors and stuff, they tend to show up a lot in the other Canadian film shows, which is a good thing. They're good group of actors by and large. But there are one or two that I think could easily headline other shows.
Oh, definitely.
And again, probably should, particularly Victor's case.
Yeah.
Again, he had done Mutant X before. Trying to think what else he'd done. He'd done maybe a few other things here and there. But it was one that this series would have liked to have had a full fourth season, give him a little more time to tell some of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But not surprised that they had a hard time getting the fourth season.
Yeah.
I think they had gotten a bit more convoluted and confusing in the third season, introduced a few too many, you know, parallel timelines and this, that, and the other type ideas for the average audience.
In the third season, one of the two Kiras was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And Carlos, well, we'll say he fell off the wagon with grief for a while. And I think that was a very wishy-washy point in the season.
Yeah, when she basically said, here's my dead body, can you do something with it?
Yeah.
And he totally throws their relationship into chaos. Who are you, what's going on type thing. It kind of reset certain things to square one that they'd really never fully come back from.
Yeah. And then you might call him Evil Alec. Pillages part of her body for a tech piece he needs. I mean, they went some strange places in that season.
It was interesting how quickly the two Alex diverged.
Yes.
And how far they diverged.
Yeah.
And how just certain events, I don't say break a person, but...
Well, it's a broken heart at a young age, in a sense, and being betrayed by family and friends at a young age.
Yeah, but then realizing you can't even trust yourself.
Yes.
Twice over. Future self and current self.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and when you think about it, that's a bit of a theme on the show. I mean, look at Kellogg.
Absolutely. Kellogg, Alec, Julian.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, you know, can you stay true to yourself? Should you stay true to yourself?
Yeah.
You know, and is fate carved in stone or not? Should you try to escape it? Should you try to control it?
Yeah.
They deal with a lot of fun theories and themes and aspects. Some of them they deliver on really well. Most they usually do, but overall as a series, and it's tough for a series to really land that ending.
Mm-hmm.
Because kind of the more you've built up over time, the more you've got to live up to a degree, and the harder it is to figure out, okay, what would be a satisfying ending?
Yeah.
And I didn't come out of this thinking, man, if they'd just done this, that would have done it.
There's a part of me that wants to say, you know, if Brad had been with her, and if it's, okay, you can't have your family, but you can start a new family in that world you created.
If Victor had gone with her.
You know, Carlos helped clean up the police force, got a park named after him. They gave Carlos one heck of a great future, despite the I agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, and Brad wasn't from that time. So pulling him out allegedly wouldn't have changed things.
True. True.
But he'd also betrayed her trust so many times.
Yeah.
That makes him an unideal choice.
How about Jason?
He'd be on the proper meds in the future, but he didn't want to go to a future where Alec didn't want to be his dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk about rejection. Again, they had a lot of fun stuff, a lot of cool ideas, many of which they executed on well, but they also left so many questions, quandaries, and so forth at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that goes to having kind of an epic scope of what they were trying to do. Arguably more epic than they had screen time for.
Well, and there's a part of me that thinks, you know, if they had known they were going to have 3.5 seasons, and instead of going into production whatever day they went into production, spent an extra 6 months, and instead of going into production with 10 episodes written, had gone into production with 3.5 seasons of scripts written, would have been better.
Yeah, but I think that's an unrealistic expectation, whereas if they had gone into each season thinking, let's tell a really good season that we can build on, but also end on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that any of their seasons fit that.
Well, that signal to the future where if nobody answers, then all's good. The whole concept terrified me. I wouldn't set off that signal.
Where's the upside to it? Yeah. The best we get is nothing. We do nothing, we get nothing. Boom. We win.
Yeah, it just...
That's where I think the writing, by and large, was flawed. They never ended on a note that had, hey, we could tell more, but we don't have to. They could have had a clean ending.
Well, one of the things I adore about the Showtime show Homeland is they end on a revelation. And at the end of each episode, it's like they open a door and they say, oh, by the way, did you know X? And then the episode's over. So it's not a cliffhanger of, oh my god, someone's about to die, but a, oh my god, did you know so-and-so would like to say hi? And it gives you a week to wonder, what is so-and-so going to say when he says hi?
Well, having something to speculate on, having a new piece of knowledge at the end, that's great.
Yeah!
But these seasons all ended with Kira more or less on the run at the first one, Alec traveling back in time in the second one, the people from the future, the big robot guards guys coming in, you know? The only one that ended on not a cliffhanger was the last one, because they knew it was the end.
Yeah.
And none of them ended on a note where you could say, okay, we're done. Or we want to go in a different direction. We changed our mind or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The great thing about the show is they created the future that they wanted. The better, happier.
Yeah, but I never got that they did it intentionally so much as it just kind of happened.
They did intentionally once Kira traveled.
Well, that's my point. Once she traveled, it had happened. We never saw them getting rid of the corporate cops. We never saw the progress points.
But we didn't see the progress points, I agree, but we saw them meeting up outside saying it's up to us to build the future she wants to live in.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. It just seems like the fixing of the future all happened off screen between that scene and the next.
But we know that her traveling instigated it.
True.
So the show, the travel, it all did accomplish something. It's just that when she gets back to the future, she lost everything to make it better for everyone else.
There had to be a way that they could have made that not be such a downer, happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think that's what they should have strove for.
Now, if Kagami had had a son, that for years he'd been telling about this great gal named Kira that I know of, or I've mm-hmm. heard of, and I can't wait for you to meet her when she comes to visit. That would have been funny.
Who? I mean, you can't just pull a new character out of nowhere. I guess it would almost seem like he'd have to be somebody we'd seen before.
No, because Kagami didn't have time for a family, presumably, before.
I guess my point is, you could have had Carlos's grandson, or you know what I mean? You could have pulled something like that.
But that's why I was going with Tony Amendola's character.
Yeah.
Because this is someone who would have grown up in Julian and Alec's household.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that.
So you would basically have a blind date waiting for her.
Yeah. here, let me introduce you to the future you helped create or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Alas, not what they did.
I know. Alas, they had her looking across a fountain at the child she'd never be able to hug.
Well, and then her hugging the child, another her.
Yeah.
Which, again, makes sense, but for dramatic television, kind of a downer.
You know, we're so accustomed to the Hollywood happy ending.
Yeah, but either they had this in mind the whole time, or they didn't. Neither's a good answer.
But I keep coming back to that question. What would you sacrifice to make the world better for everyone else?
But that's not the question they asked.
She was given no choice.
The question they asked was, what would you make somebody else sacrifice to save the world?
Yeah, I agree.
Which is a fundamentally different question.
Yeah.
But it's...
And we've had 3.5 years to get to know Alec and think he's not such a bad guy, only to have him be the one showing her.
Well, I think the Alec in the future that we get at the end is different than the one we'd seen before.
Very true.
And was very much in keeping with the younger Alec.
Very true.
He would have been there for her.
Yeah, I agree with that. The new and improved Alec was definitely a better version.
I respected that.
Yeah. And that actor has shown up in some of the Hallmark Signed, Sealed, and Delivered movies.
Ah, interesting.
Kind of interesting to see him in a very different mode than older Alec from season one of Continuum.
Yeah, I can see that.
There are some actors where you kind of, I don't want to say pigeonhole them, but you see them in that very serious corporate setting so much that seeing him as a suburban grandfather in the movies was just kind of a, wow, he can play the other side of the coin and really well.
You can't really judge how good an actor is from just one role.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you can see they've got, sometimes you can, depending on the role, but that's rare. But even if they're really good at that role, can they, again, play something very counter to it, very similar but nuanced or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Really, when you start to see people who just blend into the role they're playing.
Yeah.
That's, it's like, okay, that person has a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And again, Carlos is very different from the character Victor Webster played in Mutant X and stuff years back.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these other characters or other actors and such. Again, Kagami, very different than Braytak.
Yes.
From SG-1, Stargate.
So yeah.
Tony and Amidala. And it was, again, great seeing him at the end.
Yes.
Help bring things kind of full circle.
Well, Lexa Doig, who was on Andromeda.
And Stargate.
Yeah.
So she's done quite a few things. She was also in Tech Wars back in the day.
Oh, that's right.
She's done quite a bit of sci-fi stuff. So again, plenty of great actors, good stuff. Didn't end as well as it started, but not uncommon for a show.
Yeah. I think if you don't want to commit to the whole 3.5 seasons, but you want to give it a try, watch that full first season, because I really think that was their best.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I do think there were aspects of second and the beginning of the third that were very interesting.
Yeah.
But it's worth, if you've got Netflix already, if you've got the streaming service that has it.
Definitely.
It's worth checking out.
Well, and one of the questions that comes up in third season that, you know, look at your coworkers and think carefully. If there were two versions of them, how would you choose which one to throw into jail? It was a hilarious situation for Kira to be in. She had to choose one Alec to support because there could only be one. And, I mean, how would you even mentally grab hold of the situation you're
well,
in?
Well, let's see. One's trying to kill me. One's not. I'm going to go with the one not trying to kill me. That seems like a pretty good heuristic right there. There are aspects, again, of that point of the series where some of the philosophical questions and practical questions being asked, you're just not going to find on any other show.
Oh, exactly.
And this is one that really plays around with time travel, trust, and...
I think trust is definitely a big question for the whole series. From the personal level, corporate level, government level.
Well, and Kellogg really epitomizes that.
Yes.
Throughout the whole series.
Yeah. And, you know, Kellogg has an interesting arc in terms of very early in season one, it's tempting to think of him as a throwaway character. And he really blossoms. And into season four is when you start realizing Kellogg knows Kellogg, can't trust Kellogg.
If there's one character I could follow the story after the series of, it would be Kellogg.
Really?
I think he was left in the most interesting position.
Okay. Should I tell you what TV show I think he ended up on?
I can guess about four.
Okay. But no, I think for season four, he had a good arc.
He did, and he played his role really well, that actor.
Yeah.
And he was very much the player of the thing, you know? He was mm-hmm. working the angles, he was...
The face man.
Yeah. He was spinning things as best he could. He was the corporate politicker.
Mm-hmm.
And did it very well. And again, he was one of the main definers of the status quo most seasons.
Yeah. The interesting thing to me about Kellogg was that there were several points at which you just kind of wanted to slap him upside the head and remind him not to believe his own chatter.
Yes, there are times if he was a little bit more cautious or...
When he finally got power and control over Pyron and Sadtek, he fired Alec.
He made enemies he didn't need to.
Well, and he forgot that he wasn't the technical brain behind the operation. And when we saw his future, the living conditions, quite frankly, I'm amazed they created those robot exoskeleton things.
Much less the time travel stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that to me was part of the interesting thing about that character, was he kind of forgot that you need the brain to balance the smooth talk that's going to get your deals.
Well, yeah, and there were just aspects where he was so confident he was playing everybody else that he was very easily able to be played.
Yeah.
Which is what led him into the position at the end of the series.
Yeah.
Which, again, I'd like to see where it goes from there.
So. You have a warped sense of humor.
I thought his ending was better than Kira's.
More entertaining.
More entertaining. I'll give you that. That's my point.
If they did a season five, I honestly would like to see the little clutch of characters that were outside after she traveled. So Alec, Garza, Jason, Brad, and Carlos, I think is it,
mm-hmm.
who were making that pact of now it's up to us to build the future she wants to live in.
It's funny because if this were just a 2-hour movie for this whole thing, that would have been the next to last scene. You would have had the last scene in the future. The TV show could have easily filled that gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
It's again, kind of like Gotham filling in that gap between the...
Yeah.
The Waynes have been killed and he's Batman
yeah.
scenes.
But it's also an interesting challenge to the audience.
It is, but it was one of the places where I felt they left too much story untold.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree there.
And it was disappointing. It felt like they'd made so little progress, negative progress even, while Kira was in the past, to just say, yeah, it's all fine and good now. It felt like it was convenient, a little bit of a writing cheat.
Well, she's going, what, 70 years into the future? I mean, it just...
Oh, certainly they have the time, no question. Yeah. But it implies she was part of the problem, not part of the solution. Get her out of the way, and suddenly the future's good.
See, I don't buy that because I think she was the inspiration for their making the future better.
And I agree with that. But for the lead character to not have been instrumental in the actual doing of making of the future better.
No, but she made Carlos the man who would make it better.
She certainly inspired the others to make it better and was instrumental in getting them into a place where they could.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it just fell a little flat.
It'd be like Bruce Wayne having never had Alfred. Would he be the same person?
Depending which version of the origin and stuff, I see what you're saying. In the Gotham version, certainly not. In most other versions, possibly, don't know. But if you had just watched 3.5 seasons of the Waynes, and it ends with them getting shot, and then suddenly he's Batman, you'd be, he was just some kid.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it comes down to what did they show, what did they just tell us?
Yeah, there was a great episode last season of Grey's Anatomy, so that'd be, what, season 10, I guess? And in one episode, they covered 7 months.
Wow.
And well, and believably, and it flowed. And at the end of it, you realized the time had passed because of a phone call. And, I mean, you realized time was passing all along, but how much time had passed because a phone call gets placed, and someone gets called, and when they show up, they're like, yeah, trust me, that wasn't happening when I saw you 7 months ago.
Yeah.
You
know. I fell off Grey's Anatomy many, many seasons ago.
But maybe if Continuum had Kira travel to the future in episode 5 instead of 6, So Purr into the Machine in episode 5. And spend episode 6 just giving us glimpses. A scene here, a scene there, and take us forward.
That would have worked.
Through scenes. And then end with Kira arriving.
You almost would have had to do it as a 2-hour finale for that to work, though. I think just one episode where we're just blasting forward, people would be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But if they had done that, where you've got about 40, 45 minutes of just, oh, there's Carlos doing this. Here's Garza doing this. Here's this. Oh, wow. Look at Eric doing, you know, or
yeah.
You know, Alex doing this, Julian doing that. And suddenly we're seeing
watching
them get
Kagami
older.
Grow up.
Kagami's growing up in just snippets and such.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was one of the sorts of things they did in Looper that yeah. worked beautifully. It's yeah. like suddenly in the span of a few minutes, we're seeing decades fly by. We're seeing how this impacts this character. And then, you know, what's going on there?
Yeah.
But it's, yes, that would have actually made a big difference to me as to how this series ended. It also would have been impractical for them to shoot and stuff like that, just because the setups for the couple of glimpses you would need and the rapid fire thing. But it would have made me feel like the future didn't just happen,
mm-hmm.
but was made to happen.
Yeah.
And again, that would have made a big difference.
Interesting. Just a thought.
Of course, I'm wondering if now, in the future, the Traveler still happened or not, too. Again, that was all left unsaid, which I'm okay with. I, again, didn't like
the Traveler. He lifted his hand into the air, and magically he was home.
Inexplicable.
Pretty much.
One episode, just from the Traveler's point of view, would have been nice.
I'm not convinced he had a point of view.
But if it could have been, here's what he did, and here's what he set into motion to make all of this happen. And then him giving her a happy ending.
Yeah.
He could have been Kagami's grandson or something.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Well, there are 2 ideas for DVD extras.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, a behind the scenes explaining what the hell happened would be nice. What was the Traveler's arc?
Oh.
Anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.